How's the summer treating you? Got these last few weeks. We're in the 20s of August. It's like, oh no, I don't want to let go yet. And yet, there's so many, have we anticipated all that God's going to be doing in our midst and in our lives in fall? Like, as far as church community, there's going to be these invitations into new growth in your life with Christ. There's going to be invitations into new relationships that propel your life forward. Can you have a sense of that? We're going to kick it off on September 8th. We're going to be in the back parking lot. There's going to be barbecues. There's going to be games. Think Soccer Sunday and all the fun we had if you were here. We're going to be, so the peace is come. Consider what God's going to be calling you to, and who can you invite in? Who's not here, who we haven't seen in a while? Who hasn't been a part of our community before? Who needs a church? Like, we're here for a reason, that God uses us together to grow in our lives who we want to become and who He wants us to become. So we're anticipating that. We're going to be doing a new series on the book of Daniel about living uncompromised lives, thinking about these giants in the faith who've gone before us, who've modeled a way of living in a world where they don't recognize the true one Lord. And how do you do it? How do you navigate the waters? And how do you live with great faith in a way where you see God dynamically working in your life? So we're looking forward to that. So these last few weeks are preparing our hearts to anticipate what God's going to be doing. So last week and this week are kind of a tag team duo. Think WWF, WWE, the tag team. So first week was, who are you trying to please? Who's the center of who you're living for? And when it comes to God, how can I live a life pleasing to God? And this week, guard your heart above all else. This is the title. The question to think on this morning is, how can I stay on the best path for my life as far as this year, as far as going forward? How do I stay on and get on the best path for my life? So what we often like to do is we like to process together a little bit. So what I'm going to invite you to do is turn to the person beside you. Think about this. How do I answer this question? 30 seconds each. Feel free to engage. Some of us, it might not be so comfortable to talk to that scary person beside or there. But, part of growth is getting out of the comfort zone. So otherwise, you don't grow, right? So that invitation, please talk to the next person. If you see someone who's on their own, invite them in. So go for it. You got a minute, 30 seconds each. All right, I'm coming down. I'm interested. What do we got, community? How do you get on and stay on the best path for your life? Laurel.
Stay on your feet.
Stay on your feet. Okay, stay on your feet. What else we got? Find like-minded people to help you stay on the best path and get on the right path. What do we got over here? Read God's Word. I got a yep, some head nods. Pray. Talk to Him. Don't just read His letters, but also talk to Him and pray. Drink coffee. We've got some active supporters here. Anything else coming from the community? How do you coach us? How do you get on and stay on the right path? Avoid distractions. Freedom session. Trust in the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Trust that voice above other voices. Realizing you can't do it on your own. We need the Holy Spirit. Louise. Turn your life to Him over every day. We have to do this? Every day. And the second part was trust. Trust in Him to give you the strength. There's a good final word from wisdom from the community. Let's do that right now. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's bow before Him. Father, You are good. We've sung about Your incredible love, the way You pursue us. May Your goodness be more prominent in our lives. Lord, You know why we're here. You know what we're searching for today. You know ultimately that we're searching for You, because only You can fill our hearts with the joy that we long for, that connection to heaven that transcends our lives. Only You can fill. We turn to You, Lord. We pray and invite You to strengthen us. Strengthen us through Your written word. Strengthen us through Your Holy Spirit active in our lives as we give our lives to You. Say the soft encouragements we need. Say the direct, tough things that we need. You love us. We thank You for Your love. And we again bow and surrender to the true Lord of life. Because You are good and You know what's best for us and how to get us on the best path for our life, Your path, and how to stay on it. Guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this scripture, God's been just bringing me back and back and back of late to Proverbs 4, ancient wisdom proverbs for making smart choices. I hope you see how important this is for your life, to guard your hearts, and we're going to reflect on this. Because truly, you're going to be making significant decisions in the next weeks. Fall is always a decision-making season. Which group am I spending my time with? Some of us are going to be going to school, going back to school. Some of us are heading off to new locations. Some of us are looking for work, looking to connect in the workplace. Some of us are thinking about, well, what is this piece about being invited in church community, small groups, freedom session? What is it that I'm going to be deciding on? Well, we're turning to Proverbs 4, God's written word, and we've got an outline here just to what to expect. So the first 9 verses of Proverbs 4 is... there we go. Get on the best path. Get wisdom. Second aspect, 4, verse 10 to 19, stay off the wrong path. Don't do it. Third component, don't swerve off the right path. Guard your heart. And our focus, our center this morning is you'll get on and stay on the best path for you by guarding your heart. You'll get on and stay on the best path for you by guarding your heart. Well, what's that mean? What do we mean by heart? Well, heart is often used as a metaphor for the center of ourselves. That's spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical. Spiritually, we get at the center of who we are. This is the control center. Physically, you can't live without a beating heart. It's a central source of decision-making of which we live out our lives. Proverbs 4:23 is our central verse this morning. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Oh, is that all? Just determines the course of my life. Well, maybe that's kind of important. This is the New Living Translation. Anybody else got a different translation with them here? Because it articulates this truth in a number of different ways. Same heart of the verse, but just different language slightly. What do we got? Anybody got a different version in front of them? New King James, yes. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The springs aspect is one aspect really drawn, coming out from the translations. What else do we got? Roxine. Above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. That's a powerful metaphor, especially in a town where there's a lot of wells. Think about that. If I remember us coming into this community and going, what? You can get that house for that little? Oh, and by the way, the well doesn't work. You don't want to live here. Like, what? Oh, how many trips do we want to go and get water for all these purposes? You need a good well. You live out of the well, right? The wellspring of life. Guard your heart is connected to this metaphor of well. We'll end with that version. Dwell on these things. There's this piece about in our culture where at the center of life, the advice is you got to follow your heart. You got to follow your heart. You got to be true to yourself. That sounds so good, and yet there's a slight, I think, not quite in alignment with the truths as communicated in the Christian faith. It says, trust the Lord. Live not according to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. So there'd be this adaptation of being true to God versus being true to yourself. Well, how do we sort through that? Well, Romans 12:2, conform not to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you will know God's good and pleasing and perfect will. Jeremiah 17:9, well, this is a bit hard-hitting. The human heart, so me and you, the human heart is deceitful above all things. Desperately wicked. Who can understand it? So that says we are deceived by our own hearts. It's deceitful. Proverbs 37, don't be deceived by the lies of money. I think a lot of us, we get this. If I just have enough money, then I'll be able to do this. Then my life will be good. If I just have a little bit more. Money tells you lies. I'm sorry. That wallet in your back pocket, it's lying to you. It's saying, if you just have enough of me, you'll get all that you want in life. And I think we can kind of see that that's not true, right? But it continually lies to us. It tricks us. The same is true of our own human hearts. Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. How many times have you gone down the wrong path where you're following your longings and you're like, that was not smart. That was not good decision making. Guard your heart from anything that will lead you away from the heart of God. Back to the physical heart. The heart pumps life blood. The heart pumps life-giving oxygen. The heart pumps nutrients that we need. It carries away waste. We need to take care of our hearts. And we need to trust in the Lord, living not according to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge Him, and He will make you your path straight. And the just as in Psalms, in Proverbs, the opening section is the guide for understanding it all. And verse 7 of chapter 1 is this famous verse, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." There's this guidance, don't be a fool. The beginning of wisdom is trusting in the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is getting your fears in the right place. Fear as in respect. Respect God. That's the beginning of wisdom. These are the truths coming forward in Scripture. So, Proverbs 4, 1 to 9, we've got a strong foundation for understanding how to get on the path, the best path. So this best path, get wisdom. Get wisdom. So what's it mean, what's it look like, and what's it mean for me? Proverbs 4, 1 to 9, we've read this. My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention. Learn good judgment. Has your own dad taught you this? I'm giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions. For I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me, take my words to heart. Follow my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she'll protect you. Love her, and she'll guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she'll make you great. Embrace her, and she'll honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She'll present you with a beautiful crown. As a father of three daughters, oh, I am trying to impart wisdom on them, guidance for the different challenges in life ahead, and this encouragement to get on the right path and stay on it. Here's the way. Get wisdom. Proverbs 1, we talked about it. Psalm 1, there's this piece about Psalm 1:1. Let me read it to you. It also sets the path for understanding the Psalms. Oh, the joys of those who don't follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. There's this contrast of righteousness and wickedness, and the righteous live according to a righteous God. And the wicked live in a way where they live apart from God's instruction. This is the path set out for the Psalms. It's not my words, they're His. You'll get on and stay on the best path for you by guarding your heart. We'll see and hear that you will guard your heart by giving it wisdom. Give your heart wisdom. Get wisdom. What's it look like? Well, I was had a great conversation with one of the students I had overseen in youth ministry some 15 years back, and it was really encouraging to see what he was making of his life. But his community group, a lot of the people he hung out with, I'd say they were defined by foolishness. And it was a certain season of life of goofing off, but there was such a revelry in foolishness. And I saw as they grew up, and as they grew up, they weren't really growing out of it. They were continuing to encourage each other and revel in foolishness. This is what they uplifted in this certain friendship group. And you could see it, and it wasn't good for them. Now, thankfully, this young man has outgrown that, and he is actively pursuing wisdom. He's in his late 20s, but he's going, you know what? I need to get right with God, and I need to pursue wisdom. It's interesting. He's gone back to school. He's taking half courses at Bible college. He's getting trained in what it means to fear the Lord. It's the beginning of wisdom. And his other half is he's taking community, university call. He's taking classes, and he's wanting to be a counselor. It was interesting as he's praying through the direction and the best path for his life. And it's God working through pains in his life. It's also working through giftings in his life. And for him, he said, well, I don't feel called to be a Christian counselor. I feel called to be a counselor who's a Christian. And what he's saying in that is that my love of God is going to guide me, but kind of sometimes we can get marked in the world. And there's a place for both, a place for being openly identified as I'm a Christian counselor, and then a certain sense of like, I'm in the world, and I'm a Christian, and I'm bringing this influence. We'll talk more about that as we dig into the book of Daniel. Daniel's kind of an example of that, being both. How do you hold these things together? It's exciting to see what he's doing with his life, and I know today he is preaching in his church for the second time in his life, which is really cool as his former youth leader. And at the same time, he's preached so many sermons through the life he's lived, as do you. You may not get up on a stage here on Sunday morning, but your life is a stage to all of those around you. They're watching the lives that you preach. Was that a very lively, engaging wedding in Kersley yesterday and last night? And there was this really neat picture of community, the community of Kersley. And it was kind of even like a microcosm of what we experience here in Cornell, of community, and something my wife and I and our family just love about living in Cornell is this broader sense of community in a way that we didn't fully have in the bigness of the Lower Mainland and Langley. And community is what we long for. Well, at this wedding, I was sitting beside this young man, and he asked me the wrong question. He said, well, how did you become a pastor? I said, well, let me tell you. He said, I grew up in a way where I didn't know what to do with my life. I didn't know what path was right. My buddies were going this way. Church was kind of going this way. And then I got this experience where all these peoples on this international community were sharing their experiences of God's work in their life. And they were alive. And somebody asked me, what's your story? And it was about, what's your relationship with God? And I said, I don't know. I don't really have one, but I lived in these circles for many, many years. And it prompted me to give my life to God, and God just got a hold of me, and that it's so dynamic. Like, you take one step and then you take the next, just like our community articulated. You turn to Him each day and then the next one, and I was just like, and then God did this, and then God did this, and then I learned to take this leap of faith and that leap of faith, and it's amazing what God's done. And you know what he said? He said, you know what? I see that in my dad, too. He did that, and he gave his life to Christ in, I don't know, some kind of new way 5 years ago, and he's like you, too. And I'm thinking about this, and I was like, wow. His dad is preaching to his son, right? He's not up on the stage. His son's not here. What's even cooler is that his dad's a part of this church community. and he lives a life of service and love in our midst and in the town. And that's just what God does in your life. The path of wisdom to get on it is give your life over to Christ. He's the ultimate guard. That's coming. I don't want to... Well, what? Yeah, no. I'm going to save that for a little bit. There's so much to say. Oh, man, we're already at 11. This is trouble. Don't worry. I know it's Communion Sunday. We're going to keep moving here. So you'll get on and stay on the best path for your life by guarding your heart. Get on the path. Get wisdom. This is the way. Yes, get wisdom in your field. That's smart. Fortify it with a knowledge of who God is. Secondly, stay off the wrong path. How can I put it as succinctly as I can? Don't do it. It's not smart. Don't go on that path. You know the path. Don't do it. It's not good for you. Proverbs, the father says this to the son. And really, this is the parent's advice. Father or mother, this is wisdom. My child, listen to me. Do as I say, and you'll have a long, good life. That's supposed to remind you of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother. And there's this command, then you will live long and prosper in the land. And the father and mother are to what? They're to guide you in the way you should go and following the Lord. That's that whole background in the Old Testament, in the people of God, in the Hebrew people. You'll have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. We know life's not straight, but what's meant is the right, good, and true path. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Don't do as the wicked do. Don't follow the path of the evildoers. Don't even think about it. Those ways that you're thinking about it, don't. Don't go that way. Turn away. Keep moving. Keep moving in the right direction. For evil people can't sleep until they've done their evil deed for the day. They can't rest until they've caused someone to stumble. They eat the food of the wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the way of righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. It reminds me of the legacy that those who live right and true live among us. I think some of us who lived some foolishness in our earlier years, we respect, especially over time, as we look back, those who lived right and true lives, who lived lives of integrity. And let's be honest, as we're talking about wicked, we cannot say those people who aren't here right now, that's them. What did we talk about? The heart is deceitful above all things. How many of us have a heart? Yeah, that's right. It's you guys. You guys got this. I got this. But who's the transformer of hearts? It's the Lord God. And when you invite God into your life, you have a power that can't lose. We're going to get into that too. Oh, man. We're running out of time. There's so many things. A small temptation cannot stop a great glory. A small temptation can stop a great glory and turn great joy into a great sorrow. That's the sobering thing, is one stupid decision can really cut out the legacy you leave around for those around us. And it can steal your joy. We have to take that seriously. And we live under the power of God who can redeem broken lives. But don't do it. Don't do it. There's more to say. Something from Jeremiah 6:15. The Lord said that those who lose their understanding of sin don't even know how to blush. There's great pride in our culture that something doesn't bother us. That's true in the Christian church. So, oh yeah, well, that doesn't bother me. It's like saying, well, I'm too tough for that. That doesn't bug me. Sin should bother you. That which is not right should bother you. Yes, we're made in different sensitivities, different giftings. We need to pay attention to the uniqueness of how God's made us. But let's make sure we don't forget how to blush. The first step into sin is growing comfortable with things that should make us blush. Guard your hearts above all else, for it is the wellspring of life. There's so many comments about in a society where secularism is growing, where we can, in our youthfulness, step away from the church, and then one day leads into a week, leads into a year, leads into another year. And I've heard commentaries about millennials and the challenges that you face, millennials, is that previously in society, when people would come back to the knowledge of God and His truths in the church when they had kids, that's not happening in our culture as much anymore. So what is the next crisis you get to? There can be these years and years and years where we lose the power of God's influence in our lives, lose the legacy of being a part of the people of God, influencing the church community. We need you young people to be influencing us. We need each generation here. Don't let the days go by and by getting on the wrong path. Don't do it. Okay, we need to keep moving. Lastly, don't swerve off the right path. Guard your heart. Don't swerve off the right path. Guard your heart. A young woman in her 20s shared, "It wasn't until recently that I discovered guard doesn't mean bar, seal, or coat in a shield of lead. In the Hebrew, keep, interchangeable with guard, literally means to set a watchman over it." Who's the right watchman? She said, "I've been driven by fear to guard my heart, scared of the consequences if I didn't. So instead of setting a watchman over it, I locked it up out of panic that it would escape. I feared that it would lead me to sin and that I would be to blame for the prison break." Set Jesus as the watchman. He is the most good. He's the most true. So many things to say. Look in these verses 20 to 27. Reflect on this later. But a disciple's self, think of it, a disciple of Jesus is broken down into their body parts here, which is kind of profound to think about. There's ears, there's eyes, there's hearts, there's bodies, there's mouths, there's lips, there's eyes, your pupils, your feet. Read that more deeply as you go home, verses 20 to 27. A disciple's self is rewritten as a series of body parts. Guard your different body parts. Guard your ears, your mouth, your eyes, your feet, your heart. I polled my family this week of how to do this over devotions time. And kids were saying, don't let mean things that people say go into your heart. I thought, oh, that's really good. Another way to say that is don't let people-pleasing be the center of how you live, who you're trying to please. I was thankful for that gift of freedom session, church community revealing, hey, there's people-pleasing in your life, Dave. I couldn't even see that. My heart had deceived me in certain ways, and it was creating anxiety in certain ways. The gift of God's truths were permeating in my life. Another one of the kids said, don't be with mean people, or that will get into your art. You'll become who they are and who you spend time with. I thought that was really good. Don't watch what others watch. We're all made different. Respect how God has made you. I thought for myself, I've been teaching my kids to watch commercials since they were very young. And at the center of my parenting philosophy is this verse, Proverbs 4:23. Guard your hearts above all else, for it is the wellspring of life. So when it comes to commercials, I go, okay, kids, what are they trying to sell you? How are they trying to trick you? How are they trying to get your money? What are they promising? So from a young age, I've been teaching them to see through the promises of this world, the deceitfulness of treasures. Do it with your kids. Guard your kids' hearts. This, to me, parents, this is at the center of parenting. Part of it is how you guard their hearts by the screens that they watch, by the shows that they watch, by their loves. Another way to guard their hearts is to chase after their hearts. This is what we sung about who God is. The ultimate piece of parenting, how do you chase after your kids' hearts? Play with them. Spend time with them. Love them. Teach them. It's pretty hard to rebel against joy. Consider that in parenting. What's it mean for me? Some of us need to seriously reconsider what we're watching and how much we watch. There's all kinds of brain studies on kids and how their brains aren't fully developing coming into kindergarten because of how many screens they've watched. It's time to stop some certain habits that aren't helpful. Get accountability this year. True Christian community is authentic. We're real about stuff. True Christian community holds each other accountable. I hope that's happening. Challenge each other. The leader's got to step forward and show that in the life group. And each of us can contribute to being leaders and making our communities that we're a part of, the ministry teams, whether it's a worship team, an elders team, a staff team, a life group, a children's ministry. Be that leader that says, that calls each other to accountability, that loves each other. Guard your heart. Get in right community that will propel you forward. Be in a community that pursues wisdom. This is what we're excited about in the year ahead. Parents, chase after your kids' hearts. Guard their hearts. To end, I just wanted to think about how some of us feel like we're in tombs that we cannot break out of. Be it anxiety, be it an unhealthy addiction, whether to a substance or a screen. Others of us, we need the power of God at work in our lives. Well, in considering last week's message and this week's message and the empires of this world, one of the most powerful empires of this world, the Roman Empire, was to guard the sealed tomb of Jesus. How well did the powers of this world hold up against the power of God? What happened? They just sent one angel, and the powers of this world were just shaken in their boots. They were inept when it came to overcoming the power of God. And then as Jesus, the risen Savior, the one who went to the cross for all that's wrong in your heart, the one who took the keys to death, came back, he defeated death. He can defeat anything that's causing you to feel defeated in your life. He's the one we need to turn to, whether in community or going straight to him in prayer and reading the scriptures. He's got the power to guard our hearts.